Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Monday to you, boys and girls. I've got one question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. We come to you live for the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Coming up this hour, Amy Trask will join us. Let's talk to the former executive of the Oakland Raiders about what's going to happen if this is the final home game for the Raiders in Oakland coming up on Christmas Eve. As you've heard me attest to in the past, I think this is a disgrace. I think if you are the NFL in a $10 billion a year business, you can't find a way to financially appease both sides here. I'm not saying the Oakland city government or the county government is not at some responsibility here for the way this whole thing went down. But what we know from history is the NFL doesn't care about its fans. It only cares when it needs to care. It cares when people are really upset and start tuning out. It only gets involved when it's like DEFCON 4. Otherwise, they don't care. They didn't care about Houston when the Oilers left. They didn't care about Baltimore when the Colts left. They didn't care about Cleveland when the Browns left. They didn't care about St. Louis when the Rams left. They didn't care about San Diego when the Chargers left. And they're not caring about Oakland when the Raiders are leaving. What they got in all of those cases were free stadiums, essentially. And when you got free stadiums, the NFL will move for you. Will relocate for free stuff. That should be written on a cardboard piece of paper in front of the NFL offices. Will move for free stuff. Because if they get free stuff, they're in. If it's free, it's me. That's what the NFL slogan should be. And so here you have an Oakland city government launching a lawsuit against the Raiders out of being bitter about the relocation. You have the Raiders saying, well, if you're going to sue us, we are not going to pay rent on this stadium in 2019. And the NFL sits back, folds its arms, and lets this upcoming Christmas Eve game be played in total limbo. I mean, at least tell Raider fans if it's going to be the last one so they can, you know, get emotionally prepared. Hope you don't have any plans for December 24th. Is that a big date or something? I mean, everybody's in town, right? No family plans. You don't have anything else to do on December 24th. Is there anything else going on? Just so you know, it might be the last game you ever have here. We don't know, though, yet. I mean, please. The NFL got $1.5 billion in relocation funds from just the Rams, Chargers, and Raiders. $1.5 billion. You know what? Maybe use some of that $1.5 billion to make sure the city of Oakland and county officials don't file a lawsuit, figure out a way to play middleman here so that the Raiders can play in that stadium next season, and not to have this noose or this guillotine hanging over Raider fans' heads going into Christmas Eve of all days. Hope you have a wonderful holiday. Your favorite team could be ripped from you, just so you know. Happy holidays. holidays from the NFL. We'll talk to Amy Trask about this disgrace coming up here in approximately 15 minutes from now. Yesterday in Pittsburgh, the New England Patriots lose 17-10. Credit the Steelers. They found a way to win. They really were the dominant team throughout. It just didn't show so on the scoreboard. I mean, Chris Boswell's miss made it just feel like, yet again, here we go. The Steelers are going to gag this thing away. And yet, I think the story not only from yesterday is obviously that the Steelers found a way to stop a three-game losing streak. They looked like they were imploding and did it against the Patriots. So suddenly they feel good about themselves again. But more so, that the Patriots don't look like the Patriots. 14 penalties. Can't stop the run. They lost 5 games this year on the road. 2 of their 3 wins away from Gillette were against the Jets and the Bills. And Tom Brady doesn't look like Tom Brady at critical junctures of games right now. Critical juncture, the end of the first half, last week in Miami, Brady not getting any points and thinking they had a timeout. They did not. How can one of the greats of all time not know time and score, timeout situation? I mean, that's why he's been one of the best, if not the best, because of situational football. Yesterday, late in the game, Brady, with an easy field goal, at least on the board, to crawl to within a couple of points, at least 3 more points on the board for you. You hoist a jump ball on the sideline that Joe Hayden picks off, so you get no points out of the deal? That's very un-Brady-like, and Brady said that he was trying to throw it out of bounds. Okay, but you didn't make out of bounds, which means that arm strength is a real concern. On the final possession, his final 3 throws basically gives the team no chance. Second down and third down, those throws are out of the back of the end zone. And on 4th down, he's throwing off of his back foot into traffic. Again, it's 4th down, but remember, Brady doesn't have to throw to the end zone. There's 15 seconds left. You can get a 1st down and then come up and potentially spike it and then have a jump ball from the 2 or 3 yard line. Look, that's not all on Tom Brady yesterday. And Brady has played better for longer than any other quarterback in NFL history. But the facts are the facts. Brady is not next level. I can cover up our flaws because I'm elite or I am the all-time great still at the peak of my powers. He's not. And the Patriots have never gone to a Super Bowl under Belichick and Brady when they played Wild Card Weekend, and they haven't won a road playoff game since the divisional round of 06. If they don't get one of these 2 byes, game, set, match, they're not going to the Super Bowl. And frankly, I don't see how you could have much faith that they're going to the Super Bowl anyway, even if they get one of the byes, even if they get the first round, the number 1 seed, because that is a vulnerable team that's not nearly as good as it has been in years past, and I think most Patriots fans know it. And there are games, there are moments where dynasties crumble and they disintegrate, and you see it and you go, wow, and the last 2 weeks have felt a lot like that. At the Meadowlands yesterday, another grotesque effort by the Giants offense.
Getting back to throw, deep ball down the right side. That pass intercepted. Running with the football is Kevin Byard. Up the left sideline into Giant territory and finally knocked down at the Giants 42.
Yeah, it was tough, and obviously credit to them. And then you throw in the conditions, you know, it was just, you know, it wasn't going to be an easy day to throw the ball around and throw and catch. And one of those days you hope you can get the run game going and kind of build off that. But it was just tough to get that going a few times.
Bob Papa, Giants Radio Network, Eli Manning, he stinks. Now, before the game, Phil Simms on CBS said that the Giants have every intention of bringing back Eli Manning for 2019 and that he might be the quarterback in 2020, which if you've watched any Giants football this year, again, it's not all on Eli. Offensive line problems, play calling problems, Odell Beckham was out. They've had injuries in the offense, but look, Eli has no zip on the ball. Eli has no zip. He's slow in decision making. He's not mobile. He's not aging well. And if the Giants bring him back next year, it is the definition of insanity. Nothing is going to change. And Mraz, I don't understand why they would bring him back. What's the best argument for the Giants bringing back Eli Manning next year?
The best argument is the quarterback they draft in the first round they don't think is ready to start day one, and they want to go in a direction like Alex Smith to Patrick Mahomes,
okay,
or Joe Flacco to Lamar Jackson.
Or even Kurt Warner to Eli Manning.
Correct. That and if you look around and they're saying, well, if we're going to pay a Joe Flacco or a Teddy Bridgewater, we're better off just paying Eli at his salary to do that. That is, to me, forget the best, that is the only scenario in which Eli Manning should come back. He should not come back under the warrants of, well, we're going to draft an offensive guard, we're going to go for this thing next year. No. The rebuild starts now with taking a quarterback.
Number one, they have to take a young quarterback. They have to. They absolutely have to, and they have to have Eli Manning. If they're going to have Eli Manning, he has to be ready to get out of the way. The moment that the kid is ready or the season's in the tank, he's got to get out of the way. Because if you're bringing back Eli Manning because you think there's better football in his arm or out of sentimentality, it is such a losing mentality. It's such a losing decision. And here's the problem, Mraz. They've now won enough games because at the end of the season, you know, their schedule got easier. And they're going to win enough games to not be potentially the top six or seven picks of the draft.
Right. I think they currently sit at eight. You got to hope the Colts and Cowboys just slap them upside the head the next 2 weeks. But yeah, you're absolutely right. And you know what? Pity on them, because we said this. They had the second overall pick, and they took a stud in Saquon Barkley. He's awesome. But they had their chance to take a quarterback last year, second overall, and everybody said, well, what's the big deal? And they trade up. Well, get ready to pay the Kings ransom and go move up with the Cardinals.
I will take Bradley.
Because think about this. Right now, we've seen Baker Mayfield be a star. Now, the Giants couldn't have picked him because he went number one. But Sam Darnold's looked very good when he's been in there the last 2 weeks. Very good. Josh Allen has given everybody in Buffalo hope. And Lamar Jackson just keeps winning football games. And Josh Rosen hasn't been great. But I think Rosen still is going to be okay long term. I mean, the Giants may have passed on four starting quarterbacks in the NFL and now have to take a flyer on somebody just because Eli is so bad. It's time for the 12 DAs of Christmas, boys and girls. Number five.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. The 12 DAs of Christmas to all, and to all, a good night.
Tired of it. Stayed up till midnight, get 5 hours sleep to have my ass handed to me by the freaking Eagles again.
You're actually crying.
These two guys. Let's break some more chairs, guys.
That's unfair.
You know what's unfair? Going after a 98-year-old woman of the church! Of the church!
What kind of pot?
A crock pot.
No, I don't believe I know what kind of pot that is.
He looks like a big boy, and that's something you would have said,
oh,
too.
Oh, I definitely would.
I am a big boy.
Mraz, you can take off the blindfold now and tell us if this is Miss Chicken Pesto.
Yes, it's a hair!
What a ball of joy you are.
That's amazing!
The time is now! The place is here! And the whole wide world is filled with cheer!
Number five from May the 2nd. It's the Jody Mack attack. It's the attack of the Mack.
Number five.
We'll just start with what should be a jovial moment on the airwaves as Jody Mack is joking around with the guest that he has as he's talking about the NBA playoffs. This should just be a lighthearted, jokey kind of affair. And yet you realize that cough, that don't sound right.
In the back, you think so?
Yeah.
You say it in jest. But can there be as many as six in this year's draft?
Okay, so he's really struggling to get through that sentence. Now, Mraz, is that the smoker's cough there? What's going on there?
Yeah, I mean, Jody fancies himself a smoker.
He fancies himself a smoker?
I've been around. I know he'll run out in a break and make sure, you know, he rips through a little cig. You know, he enjoys his puff from time to time. So, yeah, I would assume at his age he didn't just pick up smoking. This has probably been something around before I knew him.
Right. So that's what that... He's not sick. Like, he doesn't have the flu or something. That's just regular smoker's cough?
I would think, yeah. I mean, eventually some nicotine gets stuck in the old throat, and that's what happened.
Can we hear that one more time? This was just a normal cough from Jody Mack the other day.
In the back, you think so?
Yeah.
You say it in jest, but can there be as many as six in this year's draft?
He's really laboring there. So now, in the same interview, Jody Mack is joking about where the Celtics will find their bench play. And we went from the cough to the laugh. The laugh is concerning as well.
Probably not to his face, Jody.
Huh. So that went from cough to laugh, and now it's become kind of an evil laugh. Oh, my God. We have the cough, we have the laugh, we have the sneeze, and we have something that's not defined yet. I don't know what this is. Right now, we believe it's a grizzly grunt, but we don't quite know what is happening with Jody Mack's plumbing.
They think somebody else is going to get hurt? That the Celtics are going to have to bring in the White Mamba off the bench? Scalabrini out of the broadcast booth to actually play? How? Excuse me. How are the Sixers such a huge favorite?
I don't know what that was.
It sounded like my dog crawled up from his esophagus and barked and then sucked it back in and he finished his point.
Bilotti, what is that? Is that? That's not a sneeze. It's not a laugh. It's not a cough. What is it?
It's time to call a doctor. That's what
it is. It's time to call a doctor.
It's death.
What is that?
I don't want to know, and that's the worst news I've ever heard in my entire life. I'd rather eat crow quesadilla with the hottest salsa in the world than hear that again.
You know, we're playing these audio bites. Bogish is in studio, and he's actively taking off his headphones every time we play one of the sound bites. He can't even stomach this.
Yeah, the last two are really just horrible noises.
In all seriousness, is it time to start worrying about Jody Mack's health? Because none of that sounds right.
If he's not worried, should we be?
That none of that sounds okay. Number 5 of the 12 DAs of Christmas for May the 2nd, the original Jody Mack attack. My goodness. When we come back, Amy Trask, CBS Sports Network, will join us on what could be the Oakland Raiders finale coming up on Christmas Eve. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Get zapped while the sun is out.
All right, DA. We got to do it real big now, man. We got to put a little extra hot sauce on it in the new time slot.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
24 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Listen to us not only on CBS Sports Radio across our wonderful affiliate list, but also on SiriusXM Channel 206. And on your phone as well, watching the simulcast at watchda.com. Or using the CBS Sports app, radio.com, or Apple Music. Joining us here on the show is a longtime executive within the Raiders organization. You watch her now on that other pregame show, Tops, and other features and other places on the CBS Sports Network. We always love having her here on the show. Amy Trask is our guest this morning on the program. Amy, good morning.
Well, good morning, and it's always my pleasure to join you. And as I just tweeted, now I get to actually say hi over the phone rather than just in writing. So hi,
that's right. Very high. Very, very good morning and a very nice hi to you as well, Amy. And I have been really losing it on the fact that Raiders fans, who are some of the best in the NFL, don't know whether Monday night will be the last game ever in Oakland. To me, that in limbo, that question should never happen. They should have known whether this was the final year or whether next year will be the final year. How do we get to a place where this fan base doesn't know what's going to happen on Monday night?
Yeah, wow. Now, look, I would not be the least bit surprised if the team does remain in Oakland next year. That's not to suggest it will. I don't know if it will. But to those who have suggested that because the city has sued the organization can't remain, I would say that's not correct. Parties to litigation can enter into a reservation of rights agreement where they continue to do business with one another while reserving their rights in the litigation. And look, the league has put a back end on the team of late January, early February to let it know where it will be playing. And from a cash flow standpoint, in terms of selling tickets, the team's got to make a decision quickly. So from a logistical and operational perspective, staying in Oakland makes a lot of sense, and it would be the right thing to do for the fans in that area.
We absolutely know it's the right thing to do for the fans, but right now, do you think the NFL cares about doing the right thing by the fans, considering they've got one foot out the door anyway going to Las Vegas?
Well, you know, when you say the NFL, there are different views within the league, but you are 100% right. You stated that perfectly. The team has already gotten permission from the league. I think it wasn't 32-0. I think it was 31-1 to move. So the league has signaled, okay, you can move. So your point is well taken, but I do know that there are some within the league that would like the team to remain there next year.
Amy Trask is our guest here on this morning's DA show on CBS Sports Radio. I am obviously passionate about this, so I am willing to admit I might be clouded by emotion here. I think it's been ridiculous that the NFL has not gone to greater lengths to make up whatever financial shortfalls there have been in San Diego for stadium renovations or a new stadium, as well as in Oakland. I think they've wanted to just basically chase free stadiums, and Stan Kroenke is going to build one at his own dime, and Vegas is going to give them one. Do you feel like the NFL has done enough in those municipalities to try to find solutions?
I think it's municipality by municipality specific. I think that there are some locations in which the league has worked very hard to find a solution. I don't believe that's the case in some of the locations you just mentioned. And, you know, at the end of the day, there is sometimes an unintended consequence to business decisions. And we will see what the pushback is from fans to these moves over time.
In other words, in Oakland, yes, I realize they're apart on the finances of building a new stadium in Oakland. But I kind of feel as though the NFL said, well, you know, we could go in and make up a shortfall of $100 or $200 or $300 million, but there's a free stadium sitting in Las Vegas. And you know what? Vegas would be kind of cool to be in. And we've already got a team in the Bay Area anyway. So why not? Do you think they exhausted everything they could have to keep the Raiders in Oakland?
Are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I lost you. I heard you after to keep, but I know where you're going with that. So, you know, let me answer it this way. There was also another solution. I mean, if you define Oakland, which I think is a magnificent market, the site on which the Oakland Coliseum is located is, in my view, the best site in all of the NFL. It is on a major artery. It's right in the middle of a major, major region, and it is the best served from public transportation. So I love that site. But there's also a brand new stadium within what the league defines as the team's primary market. The league says the team has a primary market, which is the 75-mile radius, a secondary market, which I think is 150-mile radius. Well, Santa Clara is roughly 30 miles. I think I measured it on my little odometer, and it was 32 miles from Oakland. So there's the issue as to whether the team could have stayed in Oakland, but the broader issue is, should the league have been more insistent that the team follow the guidelines and exhaust all remedies within that 75-mile radius?
Exactly, because it sounds like right now the 49ers are open to at least leasing for the next year the Raiders at Santa Clara in Levi Stadium. But the Raiders have been adamant against that, correct? I mean, it sounds like Mark Davis says, over my dead body, we're going to be playing in a 49er stadium.
Right, and I do want to make one thing clear, because when I speak about the possibility that the teams could have shared, I get a lot of pushback from people who say, but the Raiders shouldn't have to play in someone else's stadium. Well, when I was having stadium discussions with the 49ers back while I was with the team, that was before they had picked a site and before they had designed the stadium. Those discussions continued once they had picked the site, but it was very clear during our discussions that if we were to share, it would be a jointly designed, jointly created venue. So it wouldn't be all red and gold. There would be both team colors and both teams' inputs. It would be designed collectively. So I like to make clear that I wasn't simply saying go play in the 49er stadium, but rather team up and build one together. Look, these are big, big, big buildings. And not only they are expensive, there are environmental issues associated with that. How great for the environment if you build one and two teams share it.
And the Jets and Giants did that at MetLife Stadium. The Jets were tenants of the Giants for a long time at Giants Stadium, but now they are co-tenants of MetLife Stadium. So there is a There is a protocol that they could have followed for that. Amy Trask joins us this morning on the show. I think my question is, since you have very intimate knowledge of the situation in Oakland, do you think that Oakland itself was particularly impossible to find a solution? Because that's what defenders of the Raiders going to Vegas would say. Hey, the NFL couldn't have helped this because it's just too tough to do business in Oakland finding a stadium. Did you feel that way?
I'm going to answer that. Those two things aren't mutually exclusive, and I will answer it this way. Yes, Oakland is a tough municipality with which to work for a lot of reasons. But that said, sometimes business is tough. And I do believe there was a solution to be found. But I do want to underscore, Oakland was tough to deal with. Not necessarily because they intended to be tough. I'm not saying tough in a negotiating standpoint. There wasn't a lot of clarity in a number of situations. But do I believe there was a solution to be found in Oakland? Yes, I do. Solutions take compromises. They take compromises by everyone. Look, the organization has compromised on a number of issues by going to Vegas, particularly with respect to some stadium logistics it was not willing to compromise on in Oakland. So would there have had to be concessions made all around? Of course. That's how you do deals. Could it have been done? I believe so.
My gut tells me that we won't know whether Christmas Eve is the final game there, and it'll be kind of this one foot in, one foot out. And then sometime in January or February, as you said, they'll decide to go one more year because cooler heads will prevail and there's just not a better option. Would you say that's the highest likelihood of the Raiders in 2019?
That we won't know by Christmas Eve, or that they will stay in Oakland?
Both. We won't know by Christmas Eve, but they eventually will stay for 1 year at the Coliseum.
Well, I will note this. If the decision is to leave, they're not going to announce that, I don't believe, before Christmas Eve. Why would you do that before the game? If they do know for surely sure that they're going to stay, then they should announce it immediately. I believe it is very likely that the team stays. I mean, look, it is hard operationally to be living in one place and playing games in another. We did that when Al moved the team from Los Angeles to Oakland. And our first year back in Oakland, we lived in L.A., we practiced in L.A., and every single game, therefore, required a plane flight. That's tough on a team. It's a competitive disadvantage, or it can be. So I think it's likely the team stays in Oakland, but we'll see how it plays out.
My final point is, I heard your impassioned plan for what the Raiders should do if this is their final game, and that involves, you know, this tremendous kind of thank you to the fans of Oakland, the city of Oakland. And you said there should be a concert series that has all these Oakland artists, including Hammer and Too Short. And I just wanted to know, have you ever been to a Hammer or Too Short concert?
Okay, well, I'm going to answer that in a minute, but I do want to say I was a little rushed during that presentation, and I feel horribly because I did mention Hammer, who I love, and I mentioned Too Short, and I mentioned Adam Duritz from Counting Crows, but I didn't have time to mention E-40
okay.
or Carlos Santana
okay.
or Metallica. So, yes, I do think there should be a fan festival. They should open those parking lots early, early. There should be music around, concessions, but not alcohol, should be courtesy of the team, and it should be a full day thank you salute to the fans. And yes, I went to a Hammer concert at the Los Angeles Forum back in the day. It was early, it was a while ago, and it was the Too Legit to Quit tour.
Nice.
And it was one of the best concerts I've ever attended.
You know, the vision of Amy Trask in Hammer pants in 1992 at a Hammer concert just makes my entire morning and my holiday season. So,
excuse me one minute.
Yeah.
I might have been dancing, but I wasn't wearing Hammer pants.
You can watch Amy Trask for the NFL coverage on CBS, and then, of course, on CBS Sports Network as well. Tops that other pregame show. They do tremendous work over there, and follow her on Twitter, especially with everything happening with the Raiders. She's a really very, very valuable resource on Twitter, at Amy Trask. She's always very kind to everybody, and I say that seriously, which is a breath of fresh air on Twitter. So, Amy, thanks for being who you are. Thanks for the time this morning, and I can't wait to catch up again.
Thank you for having me. Thrilled to see you in Atlanta when CBS has this, the Super Bowl down there, and now I'm going to go listen to some Hammer.
Okay, nice. Amy Trask joining us this morning on the show. When we come back, a lot of good reaction from the Mraz Year of the Buffoon montage, which we will read coming up here next. Plus, get to your epic fail. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
While the sun is out.
Sounds like a DA bit coming up.
All right, bring the hot Cheetos in here now. Bring them in here. Open up the door to the mothership. Beam me up the hot Cheetos and Mirage.
That is like spot on, man. That is spot on.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
44 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for being with us. It's an Ask the Pros kind of day here, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. And think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Mike in Boston asks, DA, I know you've been waiting for this day for a long time. Do you think this is it, the end of the Patriots dynasty? Let me just clarify one thing here. I respect what the Patriots have accomplished. Because as you know, I am a student of the history of the NFL. And so to have this run for this long and the accomplishments they have had, I respect a great deal. I think their path to the greatness has been assisted by a trash division historically. And that raises the ire of Patriots fans that want to fight me on tooth and nail on the credibility of the dynasty. Look, the dynasty is great, but you can't separate the fact that they have been able to benefit from three weak quarterbacks and three weak coaches and three weak organizations regularly for nearly 20 years. I realize this year it's a little different because the Dolphins just beat them, but that's a small sample size. I'm talking about large scale, 20 years, three franchises spinning their wheels. So that has helped them always win the division easily. It's helped them always have a home game. It's assisted them getting a bye. And what do we see? The Patriots are not nearly as good on the road. Not many teams are, but specifically the Patriots have not been nearly as good on the road as they have been at home. And, you know, that has assisted them in getting to Super Bowls and winning championships, etc. Now, I'm not sitting here telling you they're not deserving, because they are. They're deserving of a place in history. I've been waiting for it to deteriorate only because every other great dynasty ever has essentially had a 6 to 10 year window. That's basically it. I mean, even the 49ers go about 15 years between 81 and 96, but they have to change coaches from Walsh to Seifert and quarterbacks, Montana to Young. The Patriots have had one coach, one quarterback the entire time. And so, yes, I'm waiting for the dance card to open up, because I think this year, where the Patriots are now clearly vulnerable, and you really see the test of metal there. Do they have to go on the road to win two playoff games? Do they have to play wild card weekend? Well, now there's a real test. There's a real massive gut check here for the Patriots. I think this makes it all the more interesting. You know, last night I saw this kind of deluge, this to tsunami wave of, isn't it great how wide open the NFL is this year? Well, yeah, without the Patriots, the league is usually really wide open. The Patriots are the one stick or the one log or the one dam that you can't swim around or maneuver around, because they're always there. So I have been waiting for this because I find it refreshing and exciting to see new things in sports. I don't go to sports for predictability. I go to sports for unpredictability. Predictability in sports is not the reason I'm into it. I don't want to know what's going to happen, which is why I begrudge the success of the Warriors. I respect them, but I begrudge it because familiarity, or less than familiarity, predictability is to me the worst part about sports. The best part is the, quote, any given Sunday corollary. And so the Warriors or the Patriots of the AFC East or whatever, some people like the consistency. Some people like the comfort and consistency. Some people say, I appreciate greatness. That's fine. I appreciate unpredictability in sports. It is why I enjoy watching games, for the wow moment. The whoa. We played more than 5.5 minutes of Mraz's moments of idiocy. What else can you call it? And early in the year, around January 1, Bilotti and I got together and said, why don't we just keep a running tab on all these stupid things Mraz will say this year? We both agreed it's going to be great. Going to be great. And today is the last day Bilotti's going to be in before the end of the year, or us altogether, rather, because he's got his wedding coming up on Friday. So this is the last shot at all of us being on the show together. So we wanted to debut it and play it here. And the 5.5 minutes of the Year of the Buffoon is amazing because, I mean, every 3 seconds you're like, no way could Mraz not know that. And then you say, wow, I can't believe he doesn't know that. And I can tell you that's all organic. That is all real. There is nothing that is played up or manipulated. He just doesn't know a lot of stuff. And, you know, I enjoy looking at the housing market. I enjoy looking at real estate, and I enjoy kind of looking at things that factor in. And so I was just actually looking at Mraz's area where he grew up and looked at the rating of his high school, West Babylon High. And I always just assumed the education there must be just disgraceful. And I saw that West Babylon High actually gets a decent rating, that you guys are 7 out of 10 on a public school rating scale. So that's not terrible. So I have to adjust. I think maybe it's not that your teachers are terrible. Maybe it's not that your education system failed you. Maybe it's that you failed the education system by simply not caring. I don't know. But when I saw that, I thought that maybe your high school was a 3 out of 10. But apparently, it's actually a decent high school.
I was on honor roll and graduated top 30 in my class.
So that's terrifying, because I think any decent school, there's no way you could graduate with honors.
Well, I did.
So that is terrifying. So that makes me think that the ranking is incorrect.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't be the first time a ranking was wrong. Morocco is a city in the Mediterranean.
Oh, my goodness.
Alex tweets, it's classy to keep it the Year of the Buffoon. Mraz gave another great year of his intellect, which is the same as a fifth grader. Please, Mraz, stay like that. It's entertainment for the radio. Great job, Bilotti, on Mraz's greatest hits. Hashtag piggy doodle dandy. Hashtag get him out.
Europe. Madrid.
Jane the 208 tweets, DA, the Jody Max segment is money. Tears running down my face as I'm driving in the rain. It is so good. Mikey tweets, the Mraz montage is the best. I'll be playing it for my 15 years on the I'll be playing it for 15 years on the importance of not only getting a college education, but paying attention in college. Or for his 15-year-old child. So that's good. We're teaching the youth this is what happens when you do not pay attention.
Holly Pui Vati Vaitai.
We will put that on YouTube so you can experience the entirety of the Year of the Buffoon, Mraz is 2018. So let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. This is from a couple of years ago, and what happened here?
This was from last year, Trash Tuesday. It came up that I still give my parents a Christmas list, and Andrew Bogus was not happy with
your
it.
Your epic fail!
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Well, have you told your family that, or did you just give them the PlayStation 4 or whatever? And,
oh, I write a whole list I give to my mom and dad.
And a Winter Classic jersey.
You write a Christmas
list. You write a list, huh?
I write a list to my mom and dad so they go shopping.
Like it's a grocery list.
Yeah, I usually get at least 20 items on there, and I say, you know, have at it.
So you put 20 items on a list for your parents?
Yeah. Doesn't everybody? That's what you're supposed to do. You write a list.
Every kid does that.
I'm still 12. Their kid.
You know what you are? You're like the hot girls who are like Instagram famous that have Amazon wish lists. And horny guys buy them things thinking it's going to get them a chance, like meeting these women. That's what you are with your little Amazon wish list that you leave on your parents' kitchen counter.
Every person's supposed to give their parents a list. That's what you do.
When you're a child.
The quote, I'm still their kid.
Yeah.
So how long will this go for? When you're 50?
No, I would imagine until I have kids, then my list gets shrunken down a little bit and their list gets up.
Shrunk down. A little bit.
A little bit.
Like now it goes to 15, not 20.
I still
20.
Get an Easter basket.
We've been waiting all year for this night.
I love how this is like
it's
funny.
It's their fault.
This is this explains so much.
Everything.
Everything.
And stop bringing pieces of fences into football games to yell defense too.
You don't
Jeez,
like
this. Leave that at Home Depot. How immature.
You don't like that stat?
No.
How immature. Sincerely, the guy giving his parents a 20-item list for Christmas that includes all baseball jerseys, hockey jerseys, and video game systems.
While wearing sweatpants at work.
And does his laundry down the street. Walking around the Christmas tree, have a happy holiday. So immature!
We might have broken Pete today.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
And our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. 2018, the year of the buffoon. Mraz has made all the right moves. Just keeps climbing up the ladder of success here at CBS Sports Radio and Entercom Radio. So more props to him. We will tweet out that montage because it's just too good not to after the show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan back at WatchDA.com. And thanks to Brad Heller on your headlines. We'll see you tomorrow for Trash Tuesday, the Mothership Disconnect.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.